We found that in verse 18, God's wrath is being shown to come from heaven. He's interested in the human race. He's just not let things roll along and is going to one day take care of things. He is so totally involved. His wrath has been revealed, and it's been revealed against the person who's ungodly and therefore is unrighteous, and his works are unrighteous. We find that that kind of person will suppress the truth and will hold it down because of what he is. And that is described in verse 18 as hindering the truth in unrighteousness. We come to verse 19 now, and maybe somebody can give us an explanation, verses 19 and 20. And we'll take Katie here. Katie, in verse 19 and 20, what do we know God is getting at? What's God getting at in verses 19 and 20?
That they know the truth about God. They know that He is righteous and that they should be living in dependence upon Him. But they, because God has made it evident to them, but they've chosen not to. They're without excuse because of that. They can't say, well, we don't know if they're living the way we see it right.
Okay. What is it they know about God? Or God says they... known about God.
Well, they know that He is righteous and that that He is without sin.
Okay. Can anybody find anything specific that they know about God? I'm sorry, your name is?
Hilda.
Hilda, right.
They know about His power.
Okay, they know about His power.
And His divine nature.
And His divine nature. What is His divine nature?
He is the loving God that He is.
Yeah, the loving God that He is. all right, Pam?
They know that He is righteous.
They know that He is righteous? Kathy?
They know that He's the creator because they can maybe just look around and see. I mean, somebody has to make it all. They don't know anything else about Him. They know that He exists and that they couldn't do that, and so that there has to be somebody bigger than them and stronger than them that organized all in faith.
Okay, right. In this verse, he's saying in verse 19, because. Why does he use the word because there? Paul? And it's, yes, that Paul. No, I got the wrong Paul. Yes, you Paul. Yeah. Okay, the question is this. It says in verse 19, because that which is known of God is manifest. He's told that the wrath of God has been revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. And they're saying that wrath then has been revealed against that because something. Okay, you don't follow the question then, right? Okay. You see in verse 18 it says the wrath of God has been revealed. We know that, don't we? What's it been revealed against?
All ungodliness and unrighteousness.
Then... when you have the word because, what's it doing when you use the word because? My son uses the word because all the time. I say, son, why don't you pick up your toys? What does he say?
Because.
What's he getting at? I say, what do you mean because? He says, because. What am I looking for? A reason. So God is saying, the reason why I have given my wrath out against all ungodliness and unrighteousness and against men who hold or suppress the truth is because. Why? What's the reason that he gives that then his wrath is being revealed? Do you understand? Okay. Yes, Mark.
Because he's already shown them, and they have no excuse. He's already shown them the way it is, but they have still. And... He's shown them plainly in their hearts that, you know, how it's supposed to be. So that gives him the excuse and the reason to be able to show it to them.
All right. Verse 19 says, because that which is known of God is manifest in them. Somebody's already a couple of people have told us what already is known of God, and it's His power and His divinity, that He's God. That's known about, that He's divine. His deity, all right, good. His deity and His power have been shown. He says they know that. But what have they done with it? That which is known of God is manifest in them, for God manifested it unto them. Now, how did God manifest His character, or His deity, and His power to them? We've heard this already, but we're going at it again. Yes, Susan?
Through creation.
Through creation. It tells us in verse 20, for God manifested unto them, verse 19, for the invisible things of Him, the invisible things of Him, since the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made. For the invisible things of Him, since the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even His everlasting power and divinity. So, Paul, do you get what it's saying there now? His wrath has been revealed against ungodliness and unrighteousness. Why? Because he's saying this. All or certain characteristics of God that are invisible have been made clear or have been seen and can be perceived by what? Creation. Just as Kathy pointed out, what about all these things around us? What about the trees, the sun, the moon, the stars? All of creation shouts out what? There's a God. There's a God. The book of Psalms tells us, doesn't it? Can you think of a verse in the book of Psalms that speaks about that?
The heavens declare the glory of God.
Right. The heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. So he's saying, now wait. The wrath of God has been revealed because in actual fact, man has known God. He's had some light given to him as to who God is. His power and His divinity. His power and His deity. That's been revealed. And if you go to your outline very quickly, the first thing we had in our outline of verses 1, 18 to chapter 3, verse 20, was the need for salvation. Okay? The need for salvation. In these chapters, what we're finding out is that man has a desperate need for the salvation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in verses 18 to 32 of chapter 1, we are looking at the pagan world. Now, that really encompasses the Gentile world, those who have never even possibly heard of the name of Christ. The pagan world. And we're saying here that the pagan world is condemned. And we're finding out why the wrath of God is being poured out against all men, even though they may have never heard the gospel. Now, this is going to come across, in some ways, pretty harsh. The first thing we find in the verse 18 was the revelation of God's wrath. All right? God's wrath. We've looked at that. Secondly, the revelation of God's person. The revelation of God's person. Who He is. God is saying here, through the Apostle Paul, that all men have a knowledge of God because of creation. We call that, when we read the Bible, light, that we have received light. They've received the light of creation, and that's often called natural revelation or creation. There's God saying, hey, look at the trees, look at the butterfly, look at the tiny insects, look at the huge great beasts. Look at everything. And surely you come to the conclusion that there is a God and that He's powerful. What is His complaint? Why is His wrath poured out? Because man has rejected the light that God gave to him through creation. Make sense? Man has rejected the light that God gave him through creation. Man said, I have another theory for the way this was created. There was a little amoeba in a dark, dark, muddy hole. And it happened to flop out onto the beach. And suddenly it began to take shape and became a and he was jumping all over the beach. And he found a tree. And then he got tired of swinging through the trees and began to walk upright. And there are all kinds. Man says, that's how it happened. The process of evolution. Well, What does the Bible say about the way this earth was formed? God created when? In the beginning. Can we take that as fact? I think it's just as logical and even more realistic than saying the evolutional theory or the Big Bang theory, whichever one, I know there's a distinction between the two. So God is saying, I'm pouring forth my wrath upon those who are ungodly and righteous, even though I revealed who I was through the light of creation. Man has rejected that light. And therefore, even though that light would not save him, it would be enough to make him know that there is a God. He's rejected even that much light. Therefore, what happens to him? He is condemned. And that's why we have in verse 20, for the invisible things of him since the creation of the world are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even his everlasting power and divinity, that they may be without what? Excuse. Without excuse. Paul is saying there's not one person who can say, I have an excuse not to believe in God. Or I have an excuse for my behavior to be ungodly and unrighteous. I can behave how I like. As far as God's concerned, fooey to him. I'll do what I please. I can live in any way I like. I can live in unrighteousness. God says, that is not true, because I revealed myself through creation, and through creation they could have come to know that there is a God. Since man rejected that, God's poured forth his anger upon the result, which is unrighteousness. Okay, make sense? That's the first thing, the conclusion then, that we come to, is that man has really rejected all God's light. And in our outline, we've said God reveals his person, the revelation of God's person, who he is, through what he did, through his creation. In the third part of our outline, under the pagan world condemned, we have this. The revelation of man's rebellion. All right? How was this rebellion affected? Verse 21. Because, another because. The wrath was revealed because what? Yes? Right, man rejected. And man rejected what? Yes, what about God? He rejected the natural light. The light comes from creation, right? Paul, are you right? I'm asking you seriously. Okay? Okay. In other words, we stand here today and we look around the earth. And we stand here and say, I wonder who put this together. He must have been pretty smart. Then somebody says, that's God. God did it. You say, Paul says, really? Yeah, it was God who did it. Oh, I don't believe it. And so I convince the other person, or you can say, I was the one who told you God did this. You told me, no, God didn't do this. This all happened by chance. And so I'm convinced, really? It happened by chance? Yeah, God didn't do it. God's, who's he? And both we walk off convinced that there's no God. Okay? So I don't take into consideration God. I live an ungodly life. My life is unrighteous. It doesn't take into account that there's a higher being than I am. I'm my own God. And I do what I like. What does God do to that? What's God done, Paul? He's revealed his... Yeah, he's revealed his creation to me, but I've rejected it. And I'm living an ungodly life. So according to verse 18, what's he doing? The first part of verse 18. Okay. He's revealed his wrath. In other words, he's going to bring judgment, isn't he? Because I said, forget it, God. I'll do what I like. All right, that's the first step we see. Paul's saying, all men everywhere in the world rejected creation. They rejected the fact that I created the world, that God created the world. Any questions about that? Because that's the first step. Everybody following? If you're not, just say so. All right, now we come to 21, and it says because. So we've got two becauses. So we'll see why those becauses are there. In verse 21 it says, because, right, that knowing God, how would they know God? By creation. What did they do? Right, they rejected. Because that knowing God, verse 21, they did not honor him. Now, if somebody would tell us what in verse 21 are the first two things. We've been given one. What are the first two things that the man who's rejected God will do? Let's take Rhonda here. What man did do because he rejected God. We're seeing now the progression downwards. What's the first thing? And actually, Garth has mentioned it. All right, he became futile, I say, and godless. Yes, that's what happened. What did he do according to verse 21? Right, they did not honor God. What does it mean when it says there, he didn't honor God? All right, they didn't glorify him. What can we say the word? Okay. If we come into, a lecture at night and we're giving thanks, what are we doing before God? We are worshipping him, aren't we? By thanking God, we're worshipping. So what man began to fail to do, or what he actually did, was that he didn't give glory to God. He didn't allow God to be God. He didn't give God any credit at all. And so he couldn't say what to God? Thank you. Because how can you give credit to somebody you don't know, or who you've rejected? And that's what man has done. He said, there is no God. He looks around and sees the trees. He looks up and sees the moon. He looks around and he sees the animals and he says, there's no God. So if you don't give credit to somebody who really did it, and because you've said there isn't one, how can you thank somebody you don't know? So he began not to glorify God and give God his rightful position. Therefore, he couldn't say, oh God, thank you for this creation around me. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done. Instead, it was as if there was something placed across heaven and all he could look around and see was that which was created and it reflected in himself. And finally we'll find that he began to recognize who was the creator. And he began to worship himself. Do you have a little problem with worshipping yourself every now and again? Just a little bit. If you're like me, you do. We have a little bit of self-worship. And we'll find he began to worship everything else. Now, what was it in the Garden of Eden that Satan promised? You will be like God. So isn't that how we find ourselves? In the state of being, the state of mind that makes me number one. And you'll find that attitude will come out in all aspects of your life. You find it in your room. Who's always first? Who always wants their own way? This big number one right here. It is. It's always the case. We find this is one of our root problems. My right to myself. And we're unwilling to give it up. Because we don't want anybody else in this world to be sovereign over my existence, over my life. And God says, I want to be. And I have the right because I created you. And I want to bring you back into relationship again to show you why you were created, what I had in mind. So we find here the first thing that he did, that is man, he glorified not God. You see, man was created in God's image. And so he didn't allow, as the image bearer, God to be glorified. He didn't allow God to be glorified in his life, to be explained, to be examined in his own experience. And then we see that when he said there's no thanks given, it means that he became independent. If we look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ as he walked the face of this earth, what do we see the Lord constantly doing? Several times we see him doing it openly. When Lazarus died and the Lord Jesus was going to raise him from the dead, what did he say? thank you, Father. Why did he say thank you? Because okay, there's that aspect. He has the one who is Lord over him. Jesus was a man, remember? And he had submitted himself to God. And what was he doing right then? As it were, whether he looked into heaven, I don't know. I think it may even said he looked into heaven.
Honoring God.
And why was he honoring God in front of all those people? It was all honor to him. And he wanted them to also realize that God had sent him. And therefore, God was the one to be honored, even in what was going to take place. I read to you, don't need to turn there. It says in verse 41 of John chapter 11, so they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou heardest me. I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the multitude thou standest around, I said that they may believe that thou didst send me. Father, thank you, because today you're going to be glorified through what happens. Father, thank you that you are the life giver. Father, thank you that you know that Lazarus, and he's been dead 4 days and he stinks. Father, thank you that you can give life to that physical body. Because, Father, you remember, and I remember, that some time ago we did a little job on this creation. We put it together. He was giving honor and glory to God as God in his own life as a man. And on earth as a man, he was saying, God, do now what you long to do is give life. And he said, thank you. I believe we see the opposite attitude that man has, as described in the book of Romans. He didn't glorify God, therefore he couldn't thank God. There was no worship whatsoever. And we find the next step described in verse 22. In actual fact, it continues in verse 21, doesn't it, of Romans. What then is the result of not being able to glorify God because you've rejected him as creator? What's the next thing? Yes, I'm sorry, your name?
Kathy.
Kathy. Right, Kathy, got him. Yes, Kathy.
Well, they didn't glorify God, so they transferred their worship to idols. They tried to find other things to worship. It says that the thinking became futile, so they were looking for dead ends.
Good. They became, what's your version say? Okay, let's take that phrase. Their thinking became futile. What's that mean?
Useless.
Or their, my version's got, they became vain in their reasonings. Why would that be the case? Their reasoning, or their capacity to now think, it became dark, or it became vain, or it became futile. Yes. Excellent. Right. That's exactly what happened, isn't it? Once you give up the truth, there's not just a vacuum, is there? What's there? Lies and error. Once the truth has gone and you've rejected the truth, something has to replace it. And don't we see that? That's happening across the face of this earth today. When the truth is rejected, something else is received in its place. And that's what happened to man. He became vain in his reasonings. In fact, that word vain and vanity, we call somebody vain when they do what? Right. And when do you do that? First thing. When do you first start your vanity? Oh, excuse me, just a minute. There's just one left right there. And it's, right? What are you doing, actually, when you do... Now, it's great. You obviously, I'd rather you did that, some of you, when you come in the mornings. No, all of us. All of us have to do it to a certain extent. But what do we do? What do we do spending time in front of the mirror? We're glorifying ourselves. And glorifying ourselves... ones have just arrived on the scene. When we're looking in the mirror... and we spend time, we are vain, or there is vanity,
And that is suggestive of idolatrous practices. Do you realize what we do so often when we do look in the mirror? We are worshipping ourselves. You can see the trend, can't you, now? Man has seen creation, and God says, if you look at creation, you can find out about me. But man says, forget it, he's not there. So he rejects God. Having rejected God, he can't thank God because he doesn't know God. So not being able to thank God, because there's no worship whatsoever, he begins to get vain in his reasoning. Now, what's vanity? Well, we say he begins to get idolatrous in his thinking. He can't think properly because the truth is gone and he's replacing the truth with a lie, with deception, with vain thoughts and ideas. Right? What's the next step then? And we'll go to... who's behind Pear? Sharon. Sherry, right? Sharon. That game didn't do me too good the other night. It says, because that knowing God, they glorified him not as God, neither gave thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and their senseless heart was darkened. Now, sorry, I should have destroyed him while I had the chance. Frankly, I was going to say my landing strip is large enough where anything could land on my nose, but it was sitting there. I think we'll have the air conditioning on tomorrow night, on Monday night. All right, let's go to this phrase then. Their foolish heart was darkened. Now, vain in their reasonings, we think of as the mind, but the mind and the heart are very closely linked. What is the heart of man? Sharon? Can you define for me the heart? What's your heart like? What's your boyfriend's name? God. I mean, you say to God, I love you with all my... You might not, but just pretend you did, right? I love you with all my heart. Do you say, I love you with all my blood pump? I mean, you don't, do you? So we know there's a distinction between what we're talking about, our physical blood pump, and something else. What if you say you love somebody with all your heart, what do you mean? Why don't we say, I love you with all my head? Okay. Well, led to believe that, yeah. What, and this is really a valid question, and let's come to consider what our hearts really are. Soul, okay. Okay. Is it more than our just emotion? Do you love just with emotions? You love with your heart, dude. I mean, with your will, don't you? Okay, any other comments? What is the heart?
Spirit.
It's a spirit. What's a spirit? How big is it? Okay, in other words, we're getting to something which is a little abstract, isn't it? But the heart is used in the Bible, and you'll find that it's, you know, a Hebrew term which describes the complete, if you like, selfhood of man, or nature of man. And it involves the moral center of all his intellect, all his will, and all his emotions. All that's involved, simply at the moment. We'll think about it that way. That as a moral individual, it's his selfhood of man, and it involves his intellect, his emotions, and all his volitional activity. Okay? Now, that's a mouthful and a handful right now, but think of it in terms of the center of my being. The center of my being. My thinking process involved there, my feeling process, and my deciding process. Now you say, well, that's the soul, isn't it? Well, we'll find that the soul and the heart are also very closely linked. And we're not going to spend obviously the time right now to decide between the soul, the heart, the mind, the emotions, the will, the body, the Spirit and so on. Just think of the heart, as he's referring it here, to be my the center of all and how I function, okay, as an individual. I'm not just flesh and blood. You can only see the body I live in. You can't actually see me. I'm inside this thing up here that stands 6'3", size 13 feet, 3-inch nose, all that. That's just my tent. It's just where I live. I live inside of this thing. And so inside of this thing, I am. And inside of me is a volitional activity, is a mind that thinks, and emotions. They're all there. That's what he's talking about here, about the heart, okay? Now, Sharon, it says here that their senseless heart was darkened. Their senseless heart was darkened. What do we mean by that? Okay, they didn't see the light. And when we think of senseless, what do we... I mean, we call people use senseless. So what do we mean? They became foolish or stupid in their hearts. And if you're foolish in your heart, you're not thinking the right way, you're not feeling the right way, and you're not choosing the right way. So their heart is off balance. It's not working properly as it was intended. Because they've been vain in their thinking, and their heart now, the whole center of their being, is thrown off. And it's darkened. It's senseless. Who's missing? God's missing. You see, it takes God to be a... What? It takes God to be a man. And once you take God out of the man, what happens? You have less than a man. What's the gospel about? The gospel is about making us men again. Salvation is to make us complete people, to make us whole again. All of us in here have different kinds of hang-ups. All of us in here have some real problems. Why? Because we were at a stage at one point without God. So what does God want to make you into again? A complete woman, a complete man. That's the gospel. That's salvation. Salvation is not just this, making sure one day that I don't go to hell and go to heaven. What is salvation? Salvation is the restoration of a man into what he should be. It's the restoration of a man into what God wanted him to be. It's a restoration of man to be in the likeness of God again. To be able to glorify God and to thank God and to worship God and to be an expression of God on the face of this earth. That is the gospel. And it's done through Jesus Christ. Hey, isn't that a greater gospel than so often is preached? The gospel that is preached today so often is, hey, Jesus died, come to him, and one day you'll go to heaven. And you know what happens? Somebody at the age of 17 becomes a Christian, and what are they waiting for? The day they get to heaven. What happens for the next 50 years that they've got on this earth? Really, what happens? What has happened to some of you since you became a Christian? What's life been like? Pretty hard? What has God got in mind? He had in mind to allow us not to have a senseless heart where our emotions are twisted and turned and all which way. Our thinking process is gone off. Our decision ability is wavering. No, he says, I want to be able to show you what it is to have a complete heart. I want you to show you how it is to have your emotions back in balance again. And your thought process and your decision come under my direction, because my direction is the best. That's salvation. That's the gospel. And so you can see how far man is fallen or is falling away from what God intended. And his wrath is going to be poured out in judgment upon those who continue and persist in ungodliness and unrighteousness. Time's gone, so I'm not going to take any more of it from you tonight. We haven't got very far, but it is going to mean in these days ahead that we move pretty quickly or quicker than we're going, but I trust this gives you an idea of how much there is in this letter. And just before we close, and tomorrow morning, let's hope we can finish this chapter. We should do if we can. I don't know if we can, but we'll try. Let's have a word of prayer together. And I would ask you, even tonight, just bow your own head before the Lord and say, God, I don't fully comprehend what Paul is saying, but I want to know. Show me what the gospel is all about. And I want to know you in such a way that it will bring about an experience in my life which is more than just knowing that one day I'm going to heaven, but that you want to have control of my life now for the best. And maybe you would do that tonight. Just trust the Lord to speak to you, and then I'll close. Just for a moment or two together, quieten your heart before Him, and may He show us what we were